football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner.
Hello and welcome everybody to yet another CBFA podcast, the thing we are still doing.
That's right.
Myself, Cole Fortner, alongside me, my co-host as always, James Parks.
Hello.
Guess we are doing season 5, episode 8, doing our week 6 recap. Officially 2/3 of the way down the season, James.
That's it, and yeah.
The season it has been so far.
And the playoffs are on the horizon already.
They really are, and playoff clinching scenarios are coming into effect here shortly, and some teams have already clinched some spots, and others will clinch potentially soon, and it's an interesting time and a fun time for football.
Yeah, and each week we play, we'll get a little bit of a clearer picture as we move towards the playoffs.
Before we focus on that, we focus on week number 6, the week that just happened. And we had 5 games, as always, plus our 3 9-a-side games. And now the day started with the Raiders taking on the Rebels. And quite frankly, I think that one ended up how we expected. It was all Raiders. For the most part, the Rebels did have a little bit of showing in the second half, but that also did come as the Raiders did have second and so on stringers in.
Sure. Yeah.
It was just all, I mean, I say that the Rebels did start off well. Their first drive, they did get a first down. They punted. They actually got a fumble recovery off the punt.
Nice.
And that extended their drive, but that was pretty much it from what I can remember in the first half. From there on, it was just all Raiders. The Raiders were like one possession scoring, like not just one possession, one play scoring
on their
drive in the first half. So it was definitely the Rebels offense that was on the field for the majority of the game. In that sense, because the Raiders just, they did one thing and it was in the end zone.
Yeah.
The Raiders are one of those teams that we have in the league that have the extreme amount of depth and talent that they can go to multiple targets and stuff and find success and get touchdowns. And it really showed in that game.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we all kind of expected that result going in, but good on the Rebels for showing up and playing hard and you know, not having any quit in them. So,
no, and they did score. They did score twice. They were, yes, in the second half, I think one in the third quarter, one in the fourth, which is good, though, because that's – 1 second, gonna find it. That's another 14 points into the points against that the Raiders have given up, and they really haven't given up that many. They've actually only given up 36 total,
right?
So far through 6 weeks. So, you know, when you can say you've scored, I think, the most amount of points against the Raiders, so far this season, you know, it's not a bad showing, a bad outing.
Yeah, respectable for sure.
I said that the Eagles did score 16, so it's one of the most points that the Raiders have given up so far this season. So yeah, that game finished with a final score of 46-14 in favor of the Raiders. Our second game of the day featured the Wildcats and the Bulldogs, and that one did have a more even start to it as well. Both teams were going back and forth, but it did kind of get away from the Bulldogs in the second half, and the Wildcats, you know, took over and dominated with their depth and players. I don't really remember too much from this game, but the Wildcats ultimately did end up winning 42 to 16. But yeah, it wasn't a bad game to start off.
Yeah.
I think it just slipped away from the Bulldogs a little bit.
Yeah, and sometimes that can happen.
What games did you have again?
I was at Hellard Field for the 1 o'clock game, Lions and Eagles. And then I was over at Encana to announce for the Mavericks and Stampeders game.
Right. You can tell how bad my memory is.
You're
I don't remember what
remembering.
happened fully 2 days ago. You want to talk about the Eagles and Lions then?
Yeah, sure. I was on the sidelines for that one and got to see some up close action, but I kind of get what you mean by, even though I wasn't looking through a lens, it's not the same feel as the crow's nest up top, right? You that overall view, you don't get the same kind of feel. But from what I do remember, the Eagles were in control of the game for the most part. It was pretty even back and forth in the first half, and it wasn't until the second half that the Eagles started to tip the scales, tip the field in their favor. And yeah, it was a solid performance from the Eagles and a 31 to 16 victory. They actually close to the end of the game, it could have turned as the Lions were within a score and could have, punched it in. They were driving, they were in kind of in position, and then they ended up turning the ball over, and the Eagles brought it down and kicked a field goal to seal the deal. So yeah, 31 to 16 was the final there in another solid Eagles performance.
But I feel like that one came, like, as well with the Wildcats Lions game, is that one was also fairly even throughout the majority of that game, and it
Yeah.
kind of just got away from the Lions.
Yeah, like the score doesn't really tell you how close the game was.
But that's the other thing, is the Lions don't, like, the Lions have, like, the superstar players, but they don't have as many as the Eagles do. And that is one thing that I was noticing doing photography for that game, is the Eagles receivers especially came to play. They
Yeah.
were going up and high pointing almost every single pass that was coming their way, and I haven't seen that many high pointed catches from one team from that many different receivers in our league in a long time.
Yeah, it was almost like a jump ball. Here, jump ball, and they were winning all the jump balls.
And it wasn't just one receiver, it was like three or four receivers that were going up and winning all those jump balls.
Yeah.
So it was actually impressive to see.
Right on. So in the next game after that, over at Encana, the Mavericks were taking on the Stampeders. And it was a very tightly contested game. It was very much a defensive battle. As the game was going on, and I could hear Dan and Davey discussing numbers, and they were looking at D line on both teams because they were stopping runs, they were getting their hands in passing lanes. It was a very well played defensive battle. Scoreless at halftime. Davey was concerned that it was going to be one of those one nothing Rouge games, and
Which we'll note that we did see in high school during the week. Early
so
Northeast beat Western Canada 1-0.
we know it's a possibility.
Yep.
And in the third quarter, indeed, the Mavericks went and and scored a rouge on a punt. They punted it into the end zone. It actually landed about the 10-yard line in front of the returner, and it, instead of bouncing up, it kind of bounced straight along the ground and rolled past him, and he had to go back and retreat into his end zone to pick it up. And by the time he got it, the coverage team was all over him, and so the Mavericks were on the board, 1-0. And again, the Stampeders got the ball. They were driving as well they could. Both teams put some good drives together, couldn't really do much with it. And then late in the fourth, I guess it was probably about 4 minutes left. The Mavericks had been winning the field position game, the punting game. They'd been pushing the Stamps back. The Stampeders hadn't been able to move the ball up the field. They're pinned in their own end. Their quarterback was under pressure, and instead of giving up the safety, he dumped the ball off, trying to throw, a desperation pass to one of his, hopefully a running back in the neighborhood. It was kind of like a screen dump, but instead, one of the Mavericks linebackers stepped in front of the ball, and he ran it around the end and into the end zone for the game's only major score. They kicked the extra 2 points, and the Mavericks ended up winning that game 9-0.
I think I saw the second quarter, and I saw part of fourth quarter in that game. I was bouncing between both fields doing photography and for social media and stuff. So I can give a vague recap of the Cowboys Colts game because of that. But I didn't really get to watch a whole lot of both games because I was flipping between the fields. I do know that the Cowboys opened up their scoring with a really beautiful passing touchdown 10 like towards the end of the first quarter. And like the first quarter was actually fairly even between both of those teams as well. But it was a nice catch in the end zone for the opening score, and then that's about when I came over to Encana Field to watch or take pictures for the Maverick Stampeders game. So I don't really know what happened much after that. But yeah, so I can't really go much into detail, but the Cowboys did end up beating the Colts by a final score of 32 to nothing. Which, if I'm not mistaken, is the third week in a row that the Cowboys have held their opponents off the scoreboard.
Yeah, so they seem to be getting better every week.
So yeah, things are rolling well in Cowboy land right now. Which is good to see. It's an improvement off of last year, and it's making the league fun and interesting and competitive again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, not like this season hasn't been fun and interesting and competitive. It's been the most competitive season we've seen.
Yeah, right. It's still very competitive. But there's some surprises on the standings table.
Yeah, and it's harder to predict the final outcome of how things are going to look, because there's teams, especially if you compare to last year, there's teams that are doing a lot better than what they have been before, and then you have a couple teams that have absolutely tanked compared to last year. But that's the one beauty of Bantam football is you don't get the consistency is each and every single season. Because you do have that the aging out factor, so you do get a good turnover rate, and teams
Yeah.
ebb and flow and up and down, and
Yeah,
it's fun.
you can't guarantee success year in and year out, which makes those teams that end up near the top of the table every year all that much more impressive.
So on that note, speaking of our table, the Raiders sit with a record of 6-0. They have locked at least Division 2 or better. The Eagles sit with a record of 5-1. They are in second. They have also locked Division Two or better in the playoffs. The Wildcats edge out the Cowboys for third. They both hold a record of 4-2 and have both also have clinched a Division Two playoff seed or better. Wildcats hold that advantage because they have beaten the Cowboys. The Bulldogs edge out the Mavericks and the Lions. All three of those teams have a 3-3 record. The Bulldogs so far have only played the Mavericks, and the Mavericks and Lions have not played either. So that's why the Bulldogs sit in fifth. The Lions sit seventh because they have given up more points than both the Mavericks, who sit in sixth, and the Bulldogs, who sit in fifth. Cowboys and the, or sorry, not the Cowboys, the Stampeders and the Colts sit with a record of 1-5. Stampeders edge out the Colts again because of points against. And then the Rebels bring up the rear in 10th seed with an 0-6 record. And that is how we sit through 6 weeks of play.
Two thirds with one third remaining.
And there's going to be games in that one third that are going to be extremely crucial for how our playoffs will look.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's still so much yet to be determined.
Well, I was looking at it a bit last night and this morning where it was if, because the Colts and Stampeders still have yet to play each other. So that game, they play each other week 9. That game will, as of right now, will determine who plays in Div 3, who plays in Div 2. Of
Yeah.
course, things can still happen if games are won or lost in week 7 and 8. But hypothetically, totally hypothetically speaking, if the Colts jump the Stampeders in the standings and nothing else changes, three games that take place in week 8 will meet in the first round of the playoffs.
Wow. Playoff previews in week 8, possibly.
Those games would be the Cowboys and Raiders, the Mavericks versus the Lions, and the Bulldogs versus the Colts. The other two games being the Rebels and the Stampeders, the Wildcats and the Eagles, were actually both in week 4. But that is totally hypothetically speaking. That is not a guarantee on how the playoffs will line up.
Well,
This is just
no.
roughly how they look after week 6.
It's a snapshot.
Yeah. It is possible that's how it lines up,
Yeah.
which would be, I think, really interesting, especially if you have three matchups that played 2 weeks prior.
Yeah, there might be a little bit of a, emotion built up before the game.
Yeah. But I know it also shows the importance of how of every game and stuff, especially this season where everybody plays everybody once until playoffs, then you meet everybody a second time. Well, not
Yeah.
everybody, but teams a second time. So it's, you are familiar with what's happened because you have played teams before.
Yeah, you hopefully you can remember what happened so that you can, plan your attack, plan your defense, plan your game plan.
Additionally, we did have 9-a-side games that happened last night down in Okotoks, spicing things up a little bit. Last week we were in Airdrie. This week we were in Okotoks.
What?
I do not have scoring
I
summaries. I
thought
just
they
have
were in
the.
Airdrie this week.
No, they were in Airdrie last week. This week they were in Okotoks.
Oh.
What did you do?
I just said on the website that they played in Airdrie yesterday.
No, that was the put no took yesterday. Anywho, I don't have full scoring results like I did last week. I just have the final results. So I can tell you that the Chiefs beat the Raiders by a score of 20-8. The Cowboys beat the Eagles by a score of 49-0. And Wildcats 2 beat Wildcats 1 by a score of 38-6. So the standings are Chiefs at 4-0, the Cowboys and Wildcats 2 with 3-1, the Raiders and Wildcats 1 with 1-3, and the Eagles sitting at 0-4. They all play one more sort of regular season games next week, and they kind of have a playoff, I guess, type style game afterwards, I think 2 weeks later. And those opponents or games are still to be determined based off of how, I think, based off how each team ranks as James updates the website.
I am updating the
But where the confusion might come into play is we have a bunch of games happening in week 7, which is the first week of our Pink Week games. Of course, Pink Week is honoring, Breast Cancer Survival Month and everything. And you can check out, I think it was the last year's episode and interview with Dave Hardy and stuff that you have reposted.
Yeah, that was the interview from last year, but it's still pertinent info. Dave asked us to share it once more, and I urge everyone to give it a listen again if you haven't.
Yeah, and that leads to our games for week 7, where we have the Mavericks opening the day up against the Cowboys at 8:30. That will be followed by the Lions taking on the Bulldogs at 10:45. The Wildcats will take on the Rebels at 1, and that game day will end at Hellard Field with the Eagles taking on the Stampeders, where there will be the breast cancer survival presentation check and everything ceremony that goes on there. And then our fifth game of the day, which will also be at 1 o'clock, is part of the Airdrie Homecoming Festival, where the Colts will take on the Raiders.
And that is at Ed Eger Field in Airdrie.
Where I will be at for the entirety of the day. That's going to be a long day.
Yes, and good for you for taking that upon yourself.
I've got a peewee game, I've got a bantam game, and I got two high school games that day.
Awesome. You're the voice of the Airdrie football. How about that?
Well, I mean, I'm already the voice of one of the high schools, so might as well do the whole tournament.
There
Or the whole festival.
you go.
Additionally, we also have 9-a-side games happening on Sunday, which will also be part of Pink Week stuff. The Raiders will take on the Cowboys. The Chiefs will take on Wildcats 2. The Eagles will take on Wildcats 1. Those are all on Sunday at Scholl Athletic Park.
Awesome.
I think those are the last days of regular season games for them.
So, that's going to wrap up their regular season.
Yeah, so they have the regular season. I think they have like a playoff type game as well. So they have two sets of games left.
Okay, cool.
So the week 6, I think, happens 2 weeks later. Hasn't had a schedule determined yet for it, but yeah. So nine aside's almost done. We're almost into our playoffs. Lots of exciting football happening, and there's potential that we might be the only football really left after this week.
Oh.
Well, if the teacher strike happens, then there's going to be a high.
Oh, I guess, yeah, that is going to suspend high school football, eh?
I haven't checked the news yet because they're expecting that vote today. If the teacher strike
Oh.
happens, high
Oh,
school football
yeah.
will cease.
They voted to strike October 6th.
Oh, they did? Dang. Which means no high school football after this week. So that
Unfortunate.
means if you want to watch football, we have football happening at Scholl Athletic Park on Saturdays.
That's right. Get your fill and Sundays, the nine aside. Don't forget them.
And it's been a good season so far.
And we're gearing up towards the playoffs. It's looking like we'll have some really excellent matchups. It's been such a competitive year. So I'm looking forward to it. I know you are too.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be a good week up in Airdrie, and I'll be excited to hear everything that happens down at Sheolais that I'll be missing. Social media will be a little lacking next week because with me being up in Airdrie, I will not be taking photos at Hellard Field. So I'm not sure anybody will be this week.
Yeah.
So that is why in that regard, but otherwise things will be floating as normal.
Just have to see what the teams are posting and share their stuff.
Well, they gotta invite us as collaborators like the Cowboys do. The Cowboys invite us as collaborators for their post, so the Cowboys get the love, and that's why if you look in our social media, there's a lot more Cowboys posts. But
Okay.
that's because the Cowboys are the only ones inviting us to be collaborators. So if
Okay,
the other teams
so
want to do that as well, then we will also happily agree to that, and
send the
obviously can't
request
do that.
to for collaboration.
Can't do that unless the teams do.
All right. You heard him. All right, and that's it. We haven't gotten anything else this week, hey?
No, just Pink Week's happening
Pink
this
socks.
weekend. So wear your pink, support your teams.
Yep.
And
Gordy's food
then,
fight's coming up. Don't
yeah,
forget
Korea's
that.
food fight. We're 2 weeks away from that. That's happening Thanksgiving weekend. And yeah, that's really about it. I mean, if you want to go up to Airdrie for the Homecoming Festival, there's going to be food trucks and a lot more happening up there. It's going to be a good, exciting day for football. And I'll try to get some interviews next weekend. But
Yeah.
yeah, if you don't want to drive up to Airdrie, at least drive up to Sheolais and watch some football.
That's right. Yeah, you can come hang out with me and Kevin.
And everybody else
And
that's there.
everybody else. And
And
Gordy will be there.
all the important people.
Right? That's right.
Yeah, no, it's should be good. Should be exciting. Week 7 coming up. We have 3 weeks of games left and a playoff picture to fill. So it's going to be intense. It's going to be tight. It's going to be fun. And in the meantime, James.
Go football.
The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime players of the game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles at their new location, 756 100 First Street, Southwest Calgary, or online, www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com. We would also like to thank the Canadian Brewhouse and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation for their sponsorship of the CBFA. Support such as theirs is essential for minor football in Alberta to continue to grow and thrive. Thank you for listening.